Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss edition, live election coverage on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash, donate, fundage. You know you want to mail your check or money order payable to RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit card, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And I think we're going to have some help with this one. We got one more donation option for you. For every $100, remember, that you donate, you could get a book from John Stadtmiller's library, to own a collection from the man, the legend that started RBN, that made all of this free speech possible that we all enjoy now. So get out your boomer checkbooks and get out your debit cards and your phone, and let's get some donations rolling in here. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming in. So for your live election coverage, we've got the man. You know the man, the caliber of this man.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Broadcasting live from an underground bunker in Burbank, Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Well, you know why I stay underground, Jeremy.
Because of a nuclear fallout?
Oh. Yeah. Hey, nuclear fallout, riots, you know, it's Burbank isn't what it used to be. Beautiful downtown Burbank.
It's
okay.
Not.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, so
what are we going to talk about today?
Something's going on today. They say it's important.
It's did Kyrie Irving retire from the NBA?
Well, I mean, you could say that. In effect, probably he did. But no, I think we're going to cover some election stuff. I went out and voted today. So I was going to give the quick rundown on what's going on in Kentucky, and maybe you could help us with what's going on the national stage. So the main things in Kentucky would be Amendment 2 regarding abortion. So after the Supreme Court gave the states the right to make their own abortion laws, all the hoes got mad and kicked up a fuss, because that's what hoes be doing. And so we added on to this ballot Amendment 2, which states it's the right to life. It states that the Kentucky Constitution will not afford the right for an abortion, nor will taxpayer dollars fund abortions. So currently in Kentucky, all abortions are illegal except for the case of life of the mother. And so really it was kind of an unnecessary thing, because the Kentucky Constitution nor the federal Constitution gives the right to abortion. As a matter of fact, I mean, we have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It's the first one, right to life. But at any rate, they felt the need to add this. So a vote yes on Amendment 2 would mean you do not want Kentucky's state constitution to enshrine abortion rights in it. So there's that. And then number two on the ballot, the main thing is Ron Paul against Charles Booker.
Rand Paul.
Did I say Ron? I meant Rand.
Yeah.
Rand Paul. Thanks for the correction. Both of them are for a lot of the same things as far as, you know, workers' rights and anti-war. Of course, they diverge greatly on abortion, child trannyism, and gun rights. So, of course, you know, Rand Paul is against child trannyism. As a matter of fact, I didn't send you this, but I went ahead and pulled this up in my prep. This was Rand Paul criticizing gender. Rand Paul was criticized, according to NBC News, for gender mutilation remarks in a Rachel Levine hearing. Read that, Richard Levine. Levine, Joe Biden's nominee for assistant health secretary, will be the country's first. So this was a year ago, but it's Rand still holds these views. Rand called child trannyism gender mutilation, and pushed back greatly on allowing minors to go through with this. came under harsh criticism by the Brandon administration. So anyway, Richard Levine, this dude that's, as far as we know, got an X and a Y chromosome, pushed back on this greatly. So we know where Rand stands. Now, as far as Booker, Booker totally supports child trannyism. A quote from his Twitter, Booker says, nearly half of LGBTQ plus youth have seriously considered suicide. They're bullied in their schools, and now they're being bullied by politicians who are shamelessly attacking them. Every child deserves to pursue their dreams and live a gainful life. That includes trans children. So he is fully on board with child trannyism and the surgeries and chemical treatments thereof. You know, I mean, he mentions the rate of suicide among LGBTQ plus youth. What about the rate of suicide for those that have had the surgery at a young age and then they grow up and they regret it? I mean, he doesn't mention that at all. You know what I'm saying? The hypocrisy is really, truly amazing. So that's where we're at. I haven't checked the polls lately. I figured we'd do that during the show. But the last time I saw, Rand was leading Booker 54% to 45%, with only about a little over 20% of the votes coming in. Our polls closed about 3 hours ago. And then as far as the amendment to the referendum on abortion rights in the Constitution, the majority of people in the 50 percentiles are voting no, meaning they want abortion in the Constitution. And mid 40% are voting yes, meaning they do not want abortion enshrined in the Constitution, with about 20% reporting. Haven't checked it lately. I figured we'd do that here soon. What are your comments on that? And then you can give us a rundown on the national scene.
Yeah, Rand Paul seems to be, he's set to win. I don't think that's, there's anything to worry about there. And, you know, the idea that abortion was enshrined in the Kentucky Constitution in the late 1700s, I guess it's the same constitution, became a state, 1799, 98, something like that. Yeah, I'm sure that that's what Kentucky's founding fathers were thinking of when they wrote a constitution. So,
and according to NBC News right now, Rand Paul is leading 57.7% over Charles Booker, 42.2%, with 70% expected votes in. Quite a change in the last 2 hours.
Yeah,
but still, as you said, Rand being in the lead. And we know Rand is not all the way our guy, but he did push back on the funding to Ukraine, that $40 billion. Just a general commentary from mine, and you'll probably diverge a little bit. I don't think that federal elections are going to matter. I don't think it matters who's president. Now, local elections, I've always stated that those do matter. I mean, we voted on paper here in my small town, and I think the majority of Kentucky counties are doing paper ballots, and they're running them through the calculating machine. The only problems you're going to have are in Louisville, Lexington, and Frankfort, the cities that basically supposedly got Bashir elected, and, you know, in the face of a over three-fourths majority Republican in the House. So I've always said that was a little fishy. But, you know, our legislature has redistricted the lines, and so they've split the vote up of those big cities. So now the big cities are going to have to share with the rural areas, and I don't think Bashir is going to be elected. He's going to lose in a landslide. Next year would be his election, because fall of 2015 is when Bashir was elected in. So he's gone. Mm-hmm. But yes, as far as, so like I said, local elections, I think count. I think our votes counted in Kentucky. And I think our votes in a presidential election count too, now that we've sort of reformed our election processes here. But the point that I'm wanting to make is I don't see any candidate for president that's going to make any type of a major difference, even Trump. And I think federal elections are pretty much a waste of time. Feel free to comment or push back.
Well, you know, there's different ways of looking at this. So one is what are elected officials going to do for us? You know, well, nothing. There's not a whole lot. There's not much to expect from that. But there's also, you can ask the question, what are they going to do for us? You can also ask, what are they going to do against us? And I think that's where the difference, there really is a difference. Because, you know, the Brandon administration has just gone, like, full out against us. And, in terms of censorship, in terms of throwing people in prison, you know, and I stated on this show, I will endorse any candidate who promises not to, lock me up for political reasons. That's all I want, really. I mean, that's not all I want, but it's the main thing I want. I don't want to have to worry about that. I don't want to have to worry about being thrown in prison for the types of things that I say on the radio. And of course, in Germany, in England, you have to worry about these things, right? In Canada, just the types of things that we say on our programs. In other so-called democracy countries, people get put in prison for this. So, I think it's funny to say the Kanye cost, it's like the Holocaust, only it's real. I think that's a funny thing to say. It's really just a joke, whatever that means. But I think it's a funny thing to say. But I couldn't say that if I was broadcasting from Germany. You know what I mean? So not that I expect the Republicans to do anything for me, but I would like to think they're going to do less against me. I think we'll have a somewhat better operating environment for us to do the work we have to do. Because, like, on the one hand, while we might not be able to vote our way out of this, we're certainly not going to Fed post our way out of it either. Some people are going to Fed post.
On the federal election, I see your point. Yeah. As far as local, like, you know, we did have our politicians do something for us on the state level. We had, you know, in the last 2 years, our legislature put a lot of good, great laws out, and against COVID measures, against the mask, against child trannyism, against abortion, and our state legislature is awesome, and they pushed back on Bashir and put him in his place. And so I reelected all of the, local representatives and the judges that were up for reelection. I reelected them because they're doing a good job so far. They smacked Bashir down where he belongs. So in Kentucky, we have 7 Supreme Court justices. They're elected to 8-year terms, and then they run for reelection. The Chief Justice is selected by his peers and serves that capacity for 4 years. So what we've got going in the judicial and legislative branch is really good. And so they have done good stuff for us. So I think that's why I tend to have some faith in the local system. Now, that's not true in every state. I mean, I couldn't say that would be true in like California, Illinois, or New York. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about, what are your comments on that? Depending on the state you're in.
California, Illinois, New York. California, Illinois, and New York are like disasters at the state level. New York, Tucker's been pushing this nice Jewish boy from Long Island who's running against Kathy, what's her name? Kathy Hoochie Coochie for governor. And I don't know if he has any kind of chance. The guy's name's Zeldin, but Tucker's been pushing him hard. And, Hoochie Coochie's been a disaster, but that doesn't stop people from getting reelected. Right now, with 30% reporting, she's basically got twice as many votes as Zeldin. So I don't think there's much chance that he's going to catch up. I haven't looked at the countywide stuff yet, but that's such a 30% reporting. That would mean with the other 60 or the other 70%, he'd have to get practically all the votes in order to catch up at this point. So it's not likely to happen. And it wasn't really likely, he might do respectably. He might get in the 40% or something, but, It's just look real fast.
I haven't yeah. kept up what's going on in the national scene, like nationally, whether we're, you know, how we're doing on the House and Senate races. I was hoping that you had that. If you've got a good,
I do
website reporting.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at Real Clear Politics. It's got a good interface for this stuff. So the governor races. You know, we're talking about statewide sense. Okay, DeSantis, he's won. That's a done deal. And Illinois, you've got the fat Jewish billionaire Pritzker, who he's won. There's no surprise about that. The ones that people were watching. Let's see, Arizona. There's the kind of older, but still kind of hot chick. What's her name? Lake. And there, Arizona, the polls closed over 2 hours ago, but there's been this massive problems in the, like the machinery's not working. And the thing is, you know, we've got, this massive increase in mail-in voting because people are still dropping dead by the billions from the coronavirus. So you can't be too careful. And especially the Democrats are much, much more likely to vote by mail. And the Republicans are much, much more likely to vote in person on election day. Well, conveniently, you've got the machines that are used on election day in the main areas of Arizona not working, creating massive line.
Yeah, I got an article here from WKMS.org. Arizona's Maricopa County says it's identified a solution for voting equipment issues. So,
yeah, Maricopa County, that's where Phoenix is. That's where the bulk of the population is.
1 in 5 polling locations were experiencing technical problems with the ballot tabulator machines in the first hours of election day. So you did, yeah, like you said, you have pictures here of people waiting in lines, true patriots, troopers out there waiting, and they're not. I guess they thought these people would leave after a little while and just give up on it.
And some very well may have, you know, some may have. And so the thing is, the ballots themselves, they're paper ballots, and if the tabulating machines aren't working, the ballots that are cast, they can sit there and wait to be run through the tabulators. Or, you know, in the old days, people used to be able to count, you know, using their fingers even. They used to be able to count. That was something that people could do. They could count. They could do arithmetic. But nowadays, I don't know what's happened. But the problem is the lines. And people leave because of the lines. So that is, like, maybe the one thing that – because Carrie Lake – was she speaks well, and she apparently was out in front. So I don't know. We still apparently 60% still has.
Hold that thought. Okay. We're on the break.
Can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shining in front of me. If you can see the light shining.
Okay, welcome back to the Patrick and Jeremy Show, live Tuesday night coverage of election midterms. We were just talking about Maricopa in Arizona. So I got this another article from NPR pulled up here saying they've identified a solution. And I'm scrolling down here, and it also says this has provided fuel for, quote, baseless right-wing claims, unquote. The issues with the tabulator were quickly used by the right-leaning influencers as fuel for their claims that the 2022 midterms are vulnerable to election fraud, according to the Election Integrity Partnership Research Coalition that focuses on misinformation. Attention spiked. Here you go. Attention spiked after a tweet from Charlie Kirk, which fueled others who allege that these machine failures are deliberate. So, I mean, 20% of them, though, that's a little hokey, I would think.
Yeah, and all they are scanners, you know, they're just scanners. And it's not as if these are fresh off the boat from wherever. I mean, they've had these machines. They're, how hard are they to test and make sure they work? You know, they're not. And so it's Arizona, and of course Arizona also has one of the Senate races that is key to the balance of the Senate between the little what would he's like a white version of a yard jockey, Kelly, the astronaut, and then Blake Masters, who's like the Chad. We'll see about that. We'll see what happens there. But baseless claims that the machines that are not working aren't working. The baseless machines, the broken machines aren't baseless allegations. The broken machines aren't working. So I don't know. Other ones to watch. You got the one in Ohio with J.D. Vance. You know, not that he's our guy, but that looks like he's won it there, and that was a requirement. North Carolina. The Bud looks like he's won it there. He's a Republican. So those are two Republicans. Well, they're holds. They're not. Another place the Republicans need to hold is Pennsylvania. And early in the evening, it looked like Fetterman was way out in front. But of course, that's because the early ballots were being counted, I guess, largely in the Pittsburgh area. And
so maybe, Fetterman's the retarded one? Is Fetterman the retarded guy?
better, you know, honestly, like, okay, so he had a stroke. Honestly, the problem is not that he's retarded. The problem is that he's got like lousy policies. The problem is he's super woke. When he ran for Senate 6 years ago, all his commercials were about, you know, him presiding over the first gay marriage in the state and all this kind of stuff. So that's the problem. But what the race is being fought over is you know, Fetterman more retarded, or is Dr. Oz more of a foreigner who doesn't actually live here? You know, is it better to have a retard representing Pennsylvania, or better to have someone from New Jersey representing Pennsylvania? And those aren't issues, right? But that's what it's all about.
You know, medical doctor from New Jersey, yeah, that supported child training is.
So whatever, but you know, the thing is, Fetterman, he would be voting for all the, he'd be voting for all the trannyism. He'd just be voting for the Democrats, and they want to go off the cliff in overdrive, and the Republicans want to go over the cliff at a nice safe speed. So
that's the you know, caught between the Scylla and Charybdis, or the rock and the hard place for you rednecks. You know, do you want Oz that's going to eventually, I would think he would be in favor of transgender surgeries for minors, even though I know he's openly saying that, or the guy that's wanting to go full steam. I mean, I can see why people are sick of the system. I totally can understand it, even on the local level for those poor folk in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes. There's a governor race in Pennsylvania between a guy who was pretty based. He's a retired colonel. He's stupid on foreign policy because he was in the military, and you're not going to get somebody who gets up to colonel or general who is going to be able to face up to the fact that they spent their entire career, fighting for Zog. So they're always going to be losers on foreign policy. But he was somebody who was a Stop the Steal guy. He was in the state Senate, and he tried to go on the Slattery plan and have a clean slate of electors sent to D.C., but the Republican leadership shut him down. Mastriano's his name, Colonel Mastriano, but he's not getting anywhere. He's not going to win.
Let's pick this up on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So we're coming back, Patrick and Jeremy, show your live election coverage. And I wanted to cover a few more things before we go to Texas, at least one more thing. Here in the light of the Amendment 2 in Kentucky that would seek to, voting no would enshrine abortion rights in the Constitution, in light of that, according to WKMS.org, hundreds of Kentucky healthcare providers signed a letter opposing the abortion amendment. As of Monday morning, more than 400 healthcare providers from 20 Kentucky counties signed an open letter urging voters to reject a constitutional amendment that could bolster abortion restrictions in the state. Amendment 2, which is on Kentucky ballots in the Tuesday election, would add language to the state's foundational document stating that, quote, to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to secure or protect a right to abortion or require the funding of abortion, unquote. Now, Patrick, that's very reasonable to me. Basically, you're protecting human life. It's not enshrined in the Constitution. And taxpayers, you know, don't have to fund it because I think I would go out on a limb and say the majority of Kentucky's residents don't want this. So, I mean, you know, these physicians, they're supposed to do no harm. Isn't that like what the Hippocratic Oath infers? I know it doesn't say it directly, but hypocrisy, that was his thing, right? Do no harm. I mean, that's pretty much doing harm.
Well, you know, if the ballot measure is that the right to an abortion is not enshrined in the Constitution, I don't see the legal logic, which I was very, very shaky, and which is why it's been overturned at the federal level, was that the Ninth Amendment provides for an implicit right to privacy, and then abortion is an issue of privacy. So you've got those two things, right? First, you have to get a right to privacy, which wasn't explicit in the Constitution, and then that the privacy somehow includes abortion, which is very, so it was a very flimsy decision. And, you know, like as a matter of public policy, I have my own reasons for having some ambivalence about it. You know, I understand and appreciate the moral objections people have. And a fetus is a living thing and you're doing harm to it. On the other hand, you know, as a practical matter, if you've got a society where, A, Irresponsible people have a lot of sex and get pregnant a lot. And B, every baby is guaranteed basically a lifetime of all sorts of benefits and also, you know, voting rights and things like that. And you're not allowing anybody, any of these irresponsible people who get pregnant, you're insisting that they have children that they don't even want and that other people may have at one level or another have to take care of. That's a potentially a recipe for disaster too. So, you know, is abortion the only answer? Not necessarily, but I'm throwing that out there, and that's why I have ambivalence towards this issue.
So I'll give you my take. I try not to make it a religious focus on our show as we do politics, but I mean, I look at everything through the lens of Christianity, and in that lens, the end never justifies the means. And, you know, if you had a 6-year-old child that was the product of rape or someone that was unwanted, would you put a gun to their head or a medical instrument to their head and kill them? I mean, most normal people would say no. What about when they're 6 months old? Well, then why would you do it at 6 weeks old? So that's my main thing. But I do, now that having been said, I do see your point, and I want to make a greater morality point. You know, we're saying save the life of these children. You know, we're attacking the symptom. But the disease is the morality, the decay of morality, as you're pointing out, irresponsibility of people. Number one, not to abstain from sex till marriage. Number one, but two, to not even use birth control. I mean, we have all sorts of advanced birth control these days that these people can use. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to back off of my stance whatsoever. I will acquiesce to your point. And I know what you're saying. This is an issue of moral decay. And by outlawing abortion, you're attacking the symptom rather than the disease.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more thing. So what you just said about, you know, do you hold a gun to a 6-month-old kid's head or whatever? There's no argument that can be made against that. I mean, there's no argument that can be made against it. You know, but here's another point I'll just throw out there. And it's not for the sake of debate or whatever, but just throw a point out there. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, say, on the other side of the world. And, you know, if people in some random country, you know, Wada Lada Land, on the other side of the world, if they're cannibals and they're eating each other or they're doing, you know, weird things to each other, should we go over there and intervene? And a lot of people would say, no, it's, you know, we don't go over there and intervene. Well, now what's going on with abortion in our country, to what extent do we, you know, it's not as if we're going and killing people. It's like, to what extent do we intervene with what people, you know, irresponsible people, whatever, are doing amongst themselves? And of course, you can make the point, very valid point, that, well, this is our country. And it's like, okay, yeah, it is our country. But of course, if this is going to be our country and we're going to be sharing country with a lot of irresponsible people and making sure that the irresponsible people reproduce a lot more and in our democracy, then there it's not going to be our country anymore. It's going to be their country. So it's a problem. The whole thing's a problem.
And even if we get a yes vote on Amendment 2 and abortion is outlawed, not enshrined, I mean, these females just drive up to Illinois, and there's actually organizations that'll pay for that. They'll pay their trip up there, their hotel, the medical expenses, all of that.
Yeah. I mean, on the narrow issue of either Roe versus Wade or this ballot initiative, I mean, I think it's such a far stretch to think that there is a right to abortion enshrined in certainly the federal constitution, and I would imagine the same could be said for the Kentucky constitution.
Well, real quick before we move on, I didn't want to take calls. I know we talked about that, and I'm still going to take, I think maybe limited. I want to hear from new people and on topic and be brief, if you would, please. I've never heard from JR in Georgia. So if you would, Patrick, let's take this one call and see how it goes. JR in Georgia, let's see what you have on your mind.
Well, gentlemen, I'm so somewhat little taken aback in the fact that the subject matter you're discussing on this evening of a major general election is evolving around abortion. And I'm somewhat taken amiss is why is this a particular subject matter that you wish to discuss this evening?
Well, because it's relevant.
It was on the ballot in Kentucky where Jeremy is. And so that's where we started from. Now, we're talking about a lot of things. And in Georgia, you've got this Senate race. What's the news with your Senate race?
Well, the only thing I was going to try to introduce into this conversation, and I will not be long and I'll be short because I'm not into abortion this evening. But the one thing I want to the listeners to understand is what we've seen now for the past two decades in regards to the voting that has occurred in regards to our rural and urban areas. And this is also true in the state of Georgia. You have a limited number of counties that have large urban metropolitan cities located within them. And they are now dominating the voting force, not only through the state of Georgia, but throughout the nation. Obama, second term, win. Less than 600 counties out of over 3,000. Supposedly, Biden, 2020, less than 400 counties. Gentlemen, we have got a major issue in this nation where the large metropolitan cities are dominating our national elections. Yeah. And I see no one addressing this factor.
Well, actually, I mean, I don't know if you've listened to our shows much or if you've listened to my shows, but this is exactly what I'm saying took place in 2020, the presidential election. Where was the bulk of the fraud? I mean, people can talk about the machines flipping votes or whatnot. There's not really a whole lot of evidence for it. What there's a lot of evidence for is in Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, those four cities. Exactly what you're talking about, these big urban cities that, by the way, have big black neighborhoods where there are zero Republicans and there's nobody to, do the poll watching and to make sure that ballot boxes aren't effectively stuffed. That's where the bulk of the fraud took place that flipped the election. So the point you're trying to make is actually something that we've been talking about for the past 2 years. And it's very valid. I guess you haven't tuned into us talking about it.
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with your particular show, but what is astonishing to me this evening is that we're seeing the same results over and over again. There was this prediction by many, many commentators on the airwaves of this country talking about a red tsunami. Well, guess what, brother? Someone stuck a fork in it tonight because the battle royale is on. The Republicans are not going to have their red tsunami. It is not going to happen. And this was quite evident early on in the evening.
Well, we appreciate the call, JR. Man, your comments were very valid. Thanks a lot.
All right. Okay, anyway.
So back to what I was going to address Houston. Do you have more on these issues before we go to Houston?
I don't know what you mean by go to Houston.
Finish your points that you were wanting to finish.
No, I don't need to finish points. I wanted to get on with some results.
Oh, I was just going to say we had a problem in Houston. Let's see. I had this article pulled up here from Houston Chronicle. Voters in Houston and across Texas have cast ballots deciding between Abbott and O'Rourke. Let's see. The Chronicle reports that polls and elsewhere around Houston all day, they had basically a Wi-Fi shutdown, roughly 10 people. Let me read through this a little bit, and you look at the results and give us a report. They had an issue down there with Wi-Fi going down. And the question was brought up, why are these machines even hooked into the Internet?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the question. Okay. Well, at any rate, the thing is, okay, so there's races to watch. At the end of the day, one thing is, though, there may be additional, like, even when we go to bed tonight, there may be additional mail-in ballots that are going to come in and switch elections. But one of the races to watch for the Senate, for control of the Senate, is Georgia. And you've got Herschel Walker, the football player, and something Warnock, I can't remember his first name, and he's like a black preacher who's in the Senate right now. And Walker is ahead of him now, and you've got about 83% of the votes counted. The thing is, because they have the runoff system, if Walker doesn't get to 50%, then there's going to be another vote in a few weeks. So we might not know how that turns out. The in Pennsylvania now you got 64% reporting, and the big lead that Fetterman had all night is now very narrow. It's about 2 points, and so we'll just have to see. The thing about Pennsylvania though is Philadelphia, which is that's a big place for Democratic votes. And the vote counting there is going to go on slowly, partly by design, but partly because there's all this fighting over whether the mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots, there was an inherent risk for the Democrats to do this mail-in ballots, because when you do mail-in ballots, there's nobody to supervise, and people don't read instructions very well, and you have to take the ballot and you put it inside an envelope that is blank other than a signature box, and you have to sign that signature box, and then you put it into yet another envelope before you stick it into the mail, and you have to date the thing properly, and a lot of people are going to make mistakes, and Democrats aren't always the most literate people, frankly, and so there was questions on whether the ballot envelope, if it's not signed properly, do you still count it? If it's not dated properly, do you still count it? And those are, as it stands right now, the state Supreme Court has said, no, you don't count it, but there's ongoing lawsuits. And so that thing could be dragged out as well. But that the Georgia and Pennsylvania and then Arizona, these are really key races. So at this point, it's too early to say whether the Republicans will get control of the Senate. They are going to get control of the House of Representatives. They're picking up enough seats that whether it's a tsunami or it's just like a little wave or a little ripple, they're going to get control of the House of Representatives.
Yeah, understood. Just to summarize that article that I brought up about Houston, a lot of voters that arrived late between 7 and 8 p.m. and the polling closed at 8, they were sent away. And as we pointed out, the majority of the voters that show up in person are going to be Republican. So they were sent away because the machines were down, which is retarded on its face. But,
I was just going to say, in so many places, they were, I guess, in the aughts and in the last decade, in the teens, they had moved to these ATM-style machines in so many places. But now there's a move away from the ATM machines to paper ballots. But then the paper ballots are counted by scanners. And the thing is, it's not that hard to count. This is something that people used to be able to do, is count. And the idea that these scanning machines breaking down would then shut down the system. And scanners aren't even, that's not particularly cutting edge technology either. It's
right.
So one thing, it's just going to further undermine faith in the elections and in the system in general.
And I would think, I'm torn. Part of me wants to say that's a good thing. If they're going to continue doing fraud, I mean, maybe people need to understand that that the election system is completely flawed and it needs to be overhauled. I don't know. What are some of the results? What are the consequences of this if they hoax this election in the midterms and people do lose faith? Like, what does that look like, losing faith in elections?
Well, I mean, even three election cycles ago, you had Trump winning, and the Democrats went on this whole thing of, oh, it was Russian hacking. So they really, I mean, they built the foundation for this latest round of lack of faith in elections. Because, you know, the 2000 election, Bush versus Gore, it wasn't so much people didn't have faith in the elections. It was just extremely close. And so minor technicalities were enough to make a difference. But really, with 2016, the Democrats went all out on this whole Russia thing. And then in 2018, you had like about 20 congressional elections, House of Representatives elections that weren't decided really at the polling place. They were decided in the subsequent weeks in courts. And the Democrats won, I think, all but one of those. And then, of course, we had the whole disaster 2 years ago. So there's just a complete lack of faith. The Republicans have good reason to have a lack of faith, but the Democrats have been kind of gaslit into all this mythology about voter suppression and my democracy. And, you know, and even if their fears aren't founded, they still have these fears. They've still been indoctrinated into thinking that there's voter suppression and that Republicans are somehow cheating them. And so, you know, whether it's founded or not, there's a lack of faith in the system on both sides.
Well, even amidst all the occurring fraud and potential fraud, I was just checked the Stormer, dailystormer.in, England's reporting on some of the exit polls where people are furious coming out of the polls. I guess Democrats are defecting, and it's not looking good for them on a national level. He quotes a tweet from Benny Johnson: "The entire liberal CNN panel spontaneously unravels after voters implode their very last hope of keeping power with brutal exit poll responses." Sean Davis: "Richard is an incompetent moron who needs to resign so somebody with a functioning brain can take over. He's an absolute disaster." Richard, and let's see who he's talking about. Oh, Maricopa County election official Stephen Richard issues public apology for election issues today. So he was, I guess voters are furious about what was going on there with 20% of the polling locations being down. And then you have this thing in Houston. So I don't know. Like you said, we may not know until Thursday. I don't know how long are they supposed to be counting these mail-in votes in the various states.
In Pennsylvania, it might be for, what is it, 2 weeks?
Oh, wow.
It's something like that.
And see, you know, just to address some more things the caller brought up, I mean, our legislature in Kentucky has already addressed this. They're not allowing the mail-in counting for that long. They're not allowing the COVID measure mail-ins at all. And they have redistricted the lines so that Frankfort, Lexington, and, you know, and the big cities in Kentucky can't control the entire state. So it's up to each individual state legislature to address this and put forth laws to fix this. And states that don't, I mean, it's just going to hurt us all as a nation. And it's going to further, here's a consequence that I wanted to bring up in people losing faith in the electoral system. It's going to further put that divide between state and fed. And, you know, your conservative states that have addressed these issues and that where your voting does seem to count, there's a line going to be drawn between them and the feds, and there should be a show off soon, a showdown. And I don't know what that showdown looks like.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, it's going to invite all sorts of court cases. And, you know, in 2000, you had the Bush versus Gore court case. And we don't have time to go into it, but I really thought that the Supreme Court intervention was very, very much misguided or mistaken. And the thing is, had they just let two different slates of electors from Florida go to Congress and be counted on January 6th in 2001, and even though Al Gore would have been the presiding officer, the way it would have played out is at the end of the day, Bush would have wound up being president because of the rules that were already established. And it would have been better to go through that process. You would have gotten the same result, but it would have been better to go through that process than to have the Supreme Court, insert itself, because now you're it's kind of set a precedent, and you're getting courts just inserting themselves into the election process. And you right now, like Pennsylvania, you're going to have court cases over, whether these votes that were counted a week late, should they be allowed or should they be disallowed? And you're going to have courts deciding these elections. And that's going to further undermine faith in the system.
Yeah. So it's going to be a wild roller coaster ride. This is really reminiscent of the 2020 election, where probably not going to know anything for a little while, even if it looks like we're winning. Hey, at the end of the show, please tune in tomorrow, Patrick and Jeremy Show, 1 p.m. Central on National Bugle, RBN. You guys stay classy. Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.